Brethren, if you will take your seats, we will now have the final service of the convention. It will be a short one, but we will commence with using hymn number 84, Parting Hymn. We'll sing all three verses, and we'll remain seated on singing Arise for the Prayer. 84. We'll call on Brother Ryan to close or to open the service and to ask a blessing on Brother Tim's service.
Dear Heavenly Father, once again we come before Thy heavenly throne of grace with thankful hearts. We thank You so much again for this opportunity this weekend to get away from the cares and concerns of the world and just meditate on spiritual things that edify one another and again partake of such sweet fellowship. At this time we're so thankful of Brother Tim's continued ministry unto us, and we ask once again that lessons imparted to us are into our hearts so we can apply them whenever possible, witnessing to those out in the world when we go back. Again, thank You so much for this weekend, and we can't thank You enough for that, and we're mindful of all Thy children the world over. As always, we come short. Please forgive our many shortcomings in thought, word, and deed. And again, we ask this and give many thanks in the name of our dear Redeemer's most precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ryan, for your prayer. And dear friends, the closing service will be shorter. And we appreciate the fact Brother Tim is willing to close the convention with a shorter service. Once again, we do especially appreciate the fact that Brother Tim and Sister Dawn were able to come to this convention all the way from west of Portland to be with the brethren here and to minister to the needs of the brethren. And how truly well They have ministered to the brethren and will continue here in the next few minutes. So, Brother Tim, I'll call on you to take over.
Well, as far as coming here, the pleasure was totally ours. We've had a wonderful time, enjoyed. It's really been a did you hear I said that?
Yeah.
I said it's been. That shows you how good a time I've had. It's been a reconnection with so many of you. And that's been blessed. I told Brother Adam I wasn't feeling very well, and I tried to get out of this last service totally. But I am feeling better than I was an hour or so ago. I have allergies and I have blood pressure issues. I don't know what was going on, but I just didn't feel very well. So, but this is the last service, and so what I plan to do is just a microcosm of what I was going to spend an hour doing. And I wanted to make it interactive, so it won't be quite as interactive. It'll just be a little bit shorter. But I think that as far as the closing service of any convention, I like to see it have something to do with closing. And so when I thought about this spot on the program, I thought of how Jesus said goodbye to his loved ones. And this is recorded in the 13th chapter of John. And actually, it's five chapters. It's 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. And one of the things that appeals to me is that we need, as students, to summarize ideas and concepts. And if we first get a big picture, that's what we need to learn, and then we get into details. I think educationally it's a mistake if you go to little details and then expect us to figure out what the big picture is. That's my prejudice. I think an artist has an idea of a big picture. He doesn't start with little tiny strokes. He steps back and looks at the big picture. So I would like to stir your minds up in the next 15, 20 minutes of what did Jesus say when he was leaving his loved ones. It's recorded in five chapters. I hope you go home and study the five chapters, but we're going to look at all five chapters in 15 minutes. That's my hope. If you have a Bible, would you open it to John, the 13th chapter? Now, this is not... See, in some respects, I know my class. And I know that this class of students has already looked at this material. This is not the first time that you've looked at John chapter 13. You've looked at this hundreds of times. So I want you to look at this 13th chapter quickly. Just scan down. And I think there are three main points, three main events in this chapter 13. And I want somebody to take a stab at what one of them is. I want you to just kind of speak out, raise your hand, whatever. Please.
Jesus washes the disciples' feet.
Jesus washing the disciples' feet. This is in verse 14. What is this lesson about? What is this a lesson of? Give me a one or two words.
Consider humbly your brethren.
Humbly serving your brethren. Another thought? That's perfect.
Humility.
Humility. Absolutely. Okay. Glance through the chapter again, some more. Keep going down the chapter and pick out another big event. Doesn't have to be good. Good or bad, whatever. What's a big event, Adam?
Betrayal.
Exactly. The betrayal by Judas. There's a huge lesson here. What would you say is the issue here? What's the little lesson here? John, do you have a thought? Yes. And what was wrong with Judas? What was his problem?
Greed.
Pride.
Jealousy.
These are all right on. I thought maybe, what?
Selfishness.
Selfishness. I thought there was like maybe a desire for power or position. This is selfishness, greed. Pride. Can you imagine that this man lived with Jesus for 3.5 years, saw almost every miracle, saw this Son of God, saw this man who spoke like no one else, who taught like no one else, who did miracles. The blind could see, the deaf could hear. And this man was so overcome with himself that this is what he did. Betrayal. I think that many of you have experienced in your lives an experience called betrayal. It happens to us. There's somebody that we trust and somehow they turn on us without warning. See, there was no warning here except for Jesus' intuition and his spirit perception. But Judas kept this a secret. Okay? There's one more lesson, one more big lesson in this chapter. Frank.
Our Lord's concern for the disciples and his prayer.
Oh, the prayer is not in chapter 13, is it? No, you're jumping ahead. Aha, see? There's one student in every class. Now, that's... You know, let's not lose the point here, though. We've got 5 chapters. We're trying to figure out, and we're trying to memorize a little bit these 5 chapters so that we can make them more a part of us. So how are we going to remember that chapter, the 5th chapter, which is 17, how are we going to remember that that's the prayer chapter? And if I ever come up to you and say, What's the chapter number in John that's about Jesus' closing prayer? How are you going to remember that it's that last one, 17 out of the 5? What's a mnemonic device?
Well, I'm just going to say that you give them a new commandment, but love one another.
Okay, that's the answer that I was looking for, but I'm going to just deal with Frank here because Frank won't calm down until we deal with his prayer. Well, here's my suggestion. We always close with prayer. That's exactly what Jesus did here tonight. You've got 4 chapters to figure out what Jesus is saying, and then there's a closing prayer. Keep that in your mind if you can. You've got 13, 14, 15, 16, and of course, we close with prayer. All right, we'll come back to prayer. Okay, the third item in chapter 13, I would suggest, I agree, we had the betrayal. I think that's huge. It's a sad lesson, but it's a huge lesson for us. And then finally, there's the new commandment that he says that you love one another. You know, the Old Testament law had love in it and things like that, but they kind of missed the boat. This was a different kind of love. This was a brotherhood, and Jesus was trying to get that across to them. Now, I can think of one word that pertains to all three of these. It pertains to number one, it pertains to number two, in kind of a negative sense, and it pertains to number three. What's the one word that we can summarize chapter 13?
Love.
That's it. Chapter 13 is love. Now, how are we going to remember that this chapter is about love? How are we going to remember that, yeah, John 13, love? What's the mnemonic, what's the memory trick we're going to use? Ryan. I got an easier one. I like your style though.
What one was this one?
He had some fancy thing with numbers, and you know how I am with numbers. You know, I'm not into numbers at all, so I tried to be nice to him, but but you know Ryan. Ben. Okay, isn't that what we would always say? If I said to you, what's the love chapter? You say, 1 Corinthians 13. Well, look at this. We should also be saying, not only is it 1 Corinthians 13, but it's also John 13. These are the love chapters in the New Testament. Okay, don't forget it. You're never going to forget that. Okay, that's a mnemonic. I had this instructor once, he said, that's permanent learning. Okay. So that's chapter 13. Let me ask you, where did this take place physically? Upper room. All right. The same thing is true. We got the first ones up top, chapter 13, and now we're going to come to chapter 14. We're still in the upper room. Now I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm going to jump ahead. After the first two chapters, look at the end of 14 in your scriptures. I don't even have it open myself here. What does it say at the end of 14? What? Okay, so they go out. So I think that's interesting. And see, I'm always looking for memory tricks, so to help my poor brain remember these things. First two chapters are in the upper room. The next two chapters are outside walking out, because they're headed for where? The garden. They're headed for the garden. These five chapters don't cover the garden. So we got the first two are in the upper room. Then they go outside. The next two are along the way. And what's the fifth?
Prayer.
Closing prayer. All right. So that's how we're going to remember this. Let me see if I can back this up. Where's the mouse go?
Tim, if you just click on the side there.
I got it. Thanks, Ben. Okay, chapter 14. If you quickly look at chapter 14, the first thing that Jesus says is don't be worried. So now I want you to start to think as to how we apply this lesson to us today. Okay, this is a farewell lesson. Jesus gave it to his loved ones. Jesus is now giving it to us as a lesson because we're going to go home. So the first lesson chapter was about what? Love, supporting each other, staying as far away from any concept of betrayal as possible, and putting into our lives this new commandment. Now we come to chapter 14, and the first thing Jesus does is encourage those probably 11. I think maybe by this time Judas is gone. Don't be worried. Jesus says, I'm the only way. There's no other way. Don't try to figure out anything different. And number three is a big help. He tells them how they can get support. You can ask things of the Father. That's a whole subject in itself. We probably don't understand even well enough the power in that asking for things. Sometimes we're afraid to ask for things. I remember a brother said once, talking about prayer, he said, don't ask for a little bit of help. He said, ask the Father for a lot of help. So, you know, I've done that ever since. If I need help, I don't just say, you know, Jehovah, Father, please give me a little bit of help on this problem I have. I still do that sometimes, but I need to get into the thing, Father, please give me a lot of help. I need a lot of help. Okay, and number four, this wonderful promise that the Holy Spirit is going to come and direct us. And it's, in this case, he's called the Helper, the Parakletos. All right, so then after this chapter, they go outside and they probably sang a hymn as they left the room. So we got inside, inside, then we go out. And now we're to the chapter 15. And Jesus gives requirements. In some respects, the suggestion is that the first two chapters were inside how we deal as a family. And now, as he goes outside, it's a little bit of a lesson as how we deal with the outside world. So that helps us remember, too. Go outside, and we have to, there has to be evident fruitage that we have been with him. He's the vine. The greatest love we can show is sacrificing for others. And it's part of the process to receive persecution. And he says in here also that we will be hated for no reason. So, you know, don't try to figure out Why don't they like me? Jesus said, you will be hated for no reason. But I can give you one of the reasons, and it's in Galatians 4. I think it's 4. And it's, I think it's after around verse 28. And the apostle is recounting the story of the two boys, Ishmael and Isaac. And, you know, they didn't get along at all, through no fault of Isaac. But the apostle says, he who was born after the flesh, Ishmael, persecuted him who was born after the spirit, Isaac. So that's the only reason you need to be persecuted. If you're born after the spirit, those who are born after the flesh are not going to like you. And what did Paul say right after that? And he says, and so it is today. He's talking in his time. The apostle says, it's still true that those who are born after the flesh are persecuting those who are born after the spirit. He's talking about himself a lot. He's talking about all those who were born after the spirit. And you know what, friends? It's still true today. Those who are born after the spirit are going to be persecuted by those who are born after the flesh. So Jesus says, expect persecution. I've been persecuted. You are going to be persecuted. Chapter 16, again, talks about the Holy Spirit lead you into all truth. And in verse 33, he says, I will give you peace in spite of all the suffering. And then finally, in chapter 17, he has the closing prayer. There's a lot of things he says in the prayer, and one of the sweetest things is that he prays not just for those there, remember that, but who does he say is included? Down the future, those who would believe on their word and their testimony. And I think maybe the most powerful verse in this chapter 17 is that he doesn't suggest that we leave the world, that we go into a monastery or we go into some sort of seclusion. But he says, keep Father, keep them from the evil one, keep them from Satan. Chapter 18 says, then they're finished, they go across the brook, and they're about to go into the garden. That's another set of experiences. So as far as Jesus' teaching, this was the last lesson. This was the last session they had together. 5 chapters. And I hope that you can hold those chapters precious in your heart. It starts with 13 and then count off 5, remembering that they closed with prayer. Now, as I looked back at those chapters, the 5, I saw in there mandates. Now, give me a synonym for a mandate. What's a mandate mean? A command, really, yeah. If you put C-O-M in front of it, which is what we do in our English, it's command. So a mandate is something that you're supposed to do. So here's a list. I don't know if it's 10 or 11 things that I saw in there that were mandates from Jesus. So here's what he says. This is the last thing he's saying to his disciples. Some of them he will literally never see again after the garden experience. Wash one another's feet. Love one another. Receive any who I send. Don't be worried. Believe in God and also in me. Believe that I am in the Father. Do not be afraid. Let us go from this place. Now, just let me pause there. We have to go from this place, folks. We can't stay here on the farm. We have to move on with our lives, each of us. Remain united to me, ask and you will receive, and be brave. So that's my closing message for you. Think about Jesus' closing message, the 5 chapters from John. It's been a blessing to be with you, and I look forward to our next meeting.
Thank you, Brother Tim, for those closing words. Beautiful, wonderful way to close the convention. A parting message that Jesus left for his disciples that we can now apply here at the end of the age and take great lessons from what Jesus left 2,000 years ago there with the disciples. And here, how beautifully they also apply currently. And we knew that Brother Tim had a message for us at the close. So we thank you very much for taking that time and encouraging us as we part here from this place. And you said you can't stay in the farm. I'm sure you can. For a little while, you could say, we'll keep you here. We have no problem. I don't know if we could keep everybody here. We'd have a little problem. Well, we'd have to maybe.
This is a big
Anyway, thank you very much, and we'll probably close with 23 for right now. We'll use 64 a little later, but I just want to make a few remarks before we close the convention. So we'll use 23. Brother Tim will close with prayer, and then I'll just remain seated, and I'll just have a few things to say, and we'll close with 64 after.
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you first of all for the gift of your Son and for his sacrifice and for your plan of salvation. And Father, we thank you at this time for the glorious privilege we have had of gathering together so peacefully as a group of your people and studying a portion of your word. We thank you for the love that has been expressed here. We thank you for the fellowship. We thank you for the lessons that we have heard. And we pray that through being here and experiencing these things, we might now go back to our daily lives and more vigorously fulfill our vows of consecration. We ask a blessing upon those who are not as fortunate as we are, those who do not have these privileges of assembly, those who are struggling in third world countries. We ask that you would be with them in a special way. We are not forgetful of them, Father. And we ask a blessing upon the dear ones here who have so generously opened up their resources for us, that we might receive this period of rest and refreshment. We thank you for all these blessings, and we pray for your continued guidance and direction. We pray this all in the Master's name. Amen.